Do you have a favorite room? Could be from your childhood, could be your favorite room right now. Do you have a favorite room? And I know everybody's already seated. You might feel funny doing this. If anybody does want to move on up closer to the front, I'll back up a little bit and it won't be so intimidating. But if anybody wants to move over to the middle sections, please do so. But favorite room? Jen. Ah, Maddie, what? Well, you have to tell us why. Maddie's room. Oh. It's her room? Yeah. Jen, first of all, jokingly said, because she decorated it, but I'm sure because you decorated it, it's a very special room because of your love for Maddie. Yeah, a child's room can be a really special place. Anybody else? Favorite room? Yes, sir. Oh. Oh. She's not even here. Nobody tell Ellen he said that. You don't get any mileage out of that. Well, that's just a beautiful answer. Man, it makes mine seem so mundane. Anyone else? Favorite room? Yes, Becky. All right. When Becky was 18, she got her own bedroom. You're sharing with your sister? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. But getting your own room, that could be a really big thing in life to finally get your own room. For me, it was the room my dad built. My dad built a room, I probably talked about it before. It was built between our garage and the back porch on a little kind of over portion of the backyard. I mean, one of the walls was the garage wall, and one of the walls was the block wall fence on the side of the house, and Dad enclosed it with windows on top. And it was a project. My dad was a carpenter, but it was a project that lasted quite some time, from pouring the slab to framing it all in to just this thing went on for years. And it was just the paneling, the wood paneling and stuff. And it was just kind of a real warm room. As a kid, it was a real kind of cozy, warm place to be. And I think on top of that, it was because my dad built it. And you know, I mean, he built it. He built that room, and it's where the family always was. It was just a really special room. Has a lot of special memories. And when we moved into Bud and Juana's house, they have a room a lot like it. My wife's been trying to paint it for years, and which would be very updated and all that sort of thing. And I'm just holding on. I'm letting her do everything else in the house if I can save those wooden walls, because I have, just because of the memories that are associated with me with that room. And sometimes a room just can, it can give us a, just a, it can be a very special place, like Maddie's room, getting your own room, having a room that has memories attached to it. And I know that we can't always impose physical things into spiritual realities. But I think, since my dad was a carpenter, I kind of like this metaphor for my life, at least, when Jesus says that he's gone away to prepare a place. And he even uses the house, doesn't he? Depending on your translation, in my father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going to go prepare a room. Can you imagine Jesus as a carpenter going to prepare a room for you? And what that means to us, to have that room, to have a home. It's a beautiful image, and something that we all share, of course, is our desire for that home, our desire for heaven. You know, the more we see in this world, the more we see how Satan so often gets his evil ways in people's lives and brings pain and harm, how we long for a time when he is no more. And we can be in the presence of God and know that sin and evil will be done away with, and that we can be at home with the Lord. When you were a child, what did you think about heaven? What did you think about heaven when you were a child? Be honest here. Yes. Oh, and that would have been wonderful, huh? The answer that it was going to be one long church service. If there's any kid, I mean, if you can't identify with that, you were never a real kid. It's like, are you kidding me? For all eternity, we're just going to be sitting in those benches and it's just going to go on and on and on. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? Roxanne? Streets of Gold. Okay, yeah. Were you kind of like that idea? Yeah. Especially as a child to think about Streets of Gold. Anybody else? Have any questions about heaven when you were a little kid? Mm-hmm. Okay, how can you stand up if you fall through the clouds? Well, you stand on the Streets of Gold. That takes care of that, Brandon. That's why we got Streets of Gold, so we don't have to stand on the clouds. Yeah. Anybody else have, when you were a kid, did you, yeah, Adam? Sure. Anybody else wonder about that? I mean, I've wondered about that not since I was a kid. And, you know, yeah, but wondering what people on the other side, what their experience is like, and wondering what level of understanding or knowledge that they have about us. Yeah, this is one of those areas in life that we probably start out, if we knew about heaven, if we had biblical teaching when we were a kid, we probably started thinking about it. Because as a little child, you think, like Deanted, I mean, just like, it's going to be church forever. I mean, do we go out and play? You know, is there recess? You know, it just kind of wonder, how is this? You know, are there going to be? I will not dare answer this question. But like, you know, what about our pets and things like that? And you know, those are we have those questions. You know, what about Rover? And you know, is Rover going to be there? Those are pretty important questions when you're a little child, and sometimes when you've grown up quite a bit, you still have some questions. Do you feel like you got the answers to the questions that you had? Did you have anybody that you went to ask these questions of? Mm-hmm. Marie? Having a mansion next door to Jesus? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, how is it going to be? How's how are the living situations going to be arranged? Yeah. Everybody would want that house right next door to Jesus. When we think of it like that. I went to my dad. My dad was the person I went to growing up with all the questions I had, and he was really very, very patient with me because I was one of those kids that just didn't settle for the little easy answers. I mean, I wanted all the information. Well, what about now? Is there anything that you're curious about now? Are there any questions or concerns or thoughts you have about eternity, about heaven now? I surely can't be the only one. Deanne? How many of you have ever wondered that? What age are we going to be? Yeah, sure. Man, I wonder that. You know, and in my own family life, when we lost a child who was 9 months old, you know, my grandmother dies at the age of 97. Okay. Is Rebecca going to be 9 months old for eternity? Is grandma going to be 97? What exactly? I mean, that's a puzzle. We don't know the answer to that. We understand certain biblical truths about resurrection, glorified bodies, all of those sorts of things, but we don't know how that works out. How does that work out if you were 4 or if you were 104? What's that like? Because they are going to be bodies. They're going to be transformed and changed, but you know, our spirits will live in bodies that are fit for eternity. And so the nature of that body, and especially as it relates to our condition in life, and so forth. Even, I mean, anybody here ever wonder about appearance? Yeah, you know, well, I have, my mustache be black. Will it be black again, or will it always be white for eternity? I don't know what it is, but the last couple of weeks, a lot of people have been talking to me about my gray hair. It's just all of a sudden. I'm going to have to talk to my wife about cutting my hair so short. I don't know if that's what did it or not, but anyway, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. Okay. Just a whole conspiracy thing. That's all right. Yeah, we have lots of questions. What will our bodies be like? There are some people who think, well, maybe we won't even know each other, which is really kind of a bizarre thing. Let me just jump in on that one. Let me just put you to ease on that. We were talking in class, I think it was last week, about memory. Apart from our memory of who we are and our identity, there's no need to even be in heaven. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know where you came from, if you don't know what your life experience was, what's the point of eternity if you cease to be who you have been with the memories that you have? I know we have a lot of questions about how God can, how this is a place of joy when there's certain things we're going to have to deal with. And I don't have the answer to that question, sometimes we've, I think, jumped to some since we can't answer that question, we sometimes have jumped to, I think, false conclusions about the other, you know, about remembering people. Well, obviously, I mean, well, you know, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, well, no, these are people. These are living beings, spirits and bodies that have identities, and our identity certainly carries beyond the grave. Jesus, in refuting the misunderstanding of the Sadducees, talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and said, God's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Those people continued to be as they were, the very people that they were. And so we wonder, you know, what it's going to be like and where it's going to be like. And there's probably some answers that we wouldn't mind having that, for whatever reason, God in His wisdom has not seen fit to give us those answers, but He sure has given us a great deal. Now, what's your favorite passage, scripture, about heaven or eternal life? Yes. Okay, I believe that's Acts 17, somewhere in Paul's sermon at Athens. In Him we live and move and have our being. Tim? Okay, 1 John 5:13. I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John written to inspire confidence in people, the assurance of salvation, not I hope, well maybe, I know. Confident, the confidence in the blood of Christ and in the promises of God. Very, very great passage of scripture about eternal life. Others. You don't have, and if it's a longer one, don't feel like you have to quote the whole thing. You can just let us know the text too. Eldon? Okay, I know in whom I have believed. Yeah, and that's, yes, from Paul's letter to Timothy. Adam? Okay, the chapters, I mean, essentially. Pardon? Okay, well, this is going to be a short night. Let me help Adam out here just a little bit. Hey, you want to read it? I just happen to have some here that we're going to read. Well, I shouldn't put them all up there. They may not be your favorites, but let's do that. And at least 22. Randy, would you get ready for those, please? Those two, Revelation 21, 1-7, and 22, 1-5. In just a second. Yeah. That's fine. I want to get one or two. In fact, would you rather read yours rather than Randy? Okay. You get the next one. He wants to read his own, so we'll let Adam read that. Someone else, a favorite passage. Yes. Okay. A passage about love, and that's very, very important passage. And the ones that, what I'd like to do as far as focusing on reading are passages that deal with heaven. But favorite passages that deal with heaven. Some others. Yes. You're right in the line there, but so both of you. But go ahead, Shirley. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we could read the whole chapter. If it's okay, let me have Randy read 50 to 58. Okay, Randy, in just a minute. Samantha. Oh, I'm sorry, Roxanne. Samantha, and then we'll get to Roxanne. Revelation what? Okay, Revelation 1, 17 to 18. That's the vision of Jesus as the Son of Man. And Roxanne, sorry. Okay, John 14. Well, that's really a neat way of putting it, that God had finished his mansion and got it built, and now it was time to go home. Yeah, John chapter 14 is that text. Dan. Okay, the Hebrews 12:23, and Dan just kind of referenced it there, so we won't turn to it or won't read it, but 12:23, where it talks about how our names are written in heaven. And Dan said he likes that idea, that concept of our names being there, that we belong there, that it's where we're headed. Eric. All right, Hebrews 11:13 to 16. Okay, in a minute, Adam, if you would do these. And Randy, if you would do 1 Corinthians 15 and John 14. Now, well, you'll have a chance if there's more scriptures, but let me ask you now for a couple of favorite songs about heaven. What's your favorite song about heaven? Yes. Sing to Me of Heaven. Okay, and that's your... Oh, well, we just did that. You got your favorite song already done. Sing to Me of Heaven. Okay. Mansion Over the Hilltop. I think, well, okay, we're going to do that. Song leaders, right after John 14, if we could lead Mansion Over the Hilltop. Someone else, favorite song, Becky? No Tears in Heaven. Okay. Just a sec here. Let's see. Give me just a second here. You've already got something here. I'm just trying to see. Okay. No Tears is going to go right here. Okay? Song leaders? I'll give you, we'll come up with the order here in just a minute. Willie? Home of the Soul. Okay, we'll do that right here. I'll tell you what, I see others. Sorry about my terrible mess. We'll take one more song right there, and then we'll... Beulah Land, that's your favorite song. Did Kevin tell you to say that? Okay, all right, Beulah Land, very good. We'll do that right here after Hebrews 11. Wow. There's a good girl, I'll tell you. Here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to ask Adam to come up. Oh, and Adam, if you don't mind, starting with Samantha's passage here, chapter 1, and then read Revelation 21, 1 through 7. We'll sing No Tears after that. Then Adam, if you'd read Revelation 22, we'll sing Home of the Soul. Then Randy, if you would read 1 Corinthians 15 and John 14, and we'll sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. And then we'll pick it up from there.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Chapter 12. 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Oh, sorry. Did I mess up with that? I'll sit back down now.
Put that there. 882. Number 882.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder or things this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, safe ones be dearer, in hand where all will be made new. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life is clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more nights. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Number 875. Number 875.
If for the price we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light. Off in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light, oft in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea.
First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Number 881. Number 881.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will nevermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16. After this reading, I'm going to ask Brother Rick Cheney to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing the song. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. In the great catalog of the faithful, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Y'all pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we love you so very much, and we are so thankful to have this opportunity to come together as a family and discuss with each other our favorite passages, our favorite remembrances of childhood, and to share these things with each other and to know that it all leads to you, and that all of these things that we love and we cherish so much here on this earth are not even close to what you have already promised us. Father, we thank you for these blessings. We sometimes overlook them, but your grace just showers down on us all the time. And we ask that you continue to bless us with the wisdom and courage and strength to carry on daily and to keep you number one in our lives. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show on us when we fall short. And we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Number 894. Number 894.
I've reached the land of love divine, and all its riches freely mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. My Savior comes and walks with me, and sweet communion here have we. He gently leads me by his hand, for this is heaven's borderland. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. The zephyr seemed to flow to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody, as angels with a white robe throng join in the sweet redemption song. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore.
Please mark the song of invitation this evening as number 915. Number 915.
Samantha, you got 3 verses. Everybody else only got 2 verses. So I hope you paid attention to that. You were special treatment for Samantha. We may not have time to read a lot of passages right now, but I would like to give an opportunity. Someone has a passage that just is special to you about heaven, to at least mention it. There's several. Go ahead, Adam. Okay. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Yeah, that's an amazing passage that a man dying on a cross as a criminal could somehow come to that kind of faith to say, remember me when you come in your kingdom, and to say that to a man who's on his last breath. And that's the promise. Some have said he was the first man to trust in Jesus Christ crucified, the thief on the cross. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, which tells us it's not really about heaven in a sense, but it's, you know, not laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy or thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We have a song, Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, out of that passage. It's so true. You know, we're in this big remodeling of our bathroom that was in such bad shape, you know, the entire floor had to be cut out of it from a leaky shower for, you know, 50 years or whatever. And, you know, we're doing all this and the tile going up and all that, and it just struck me, this is just going to be a pile of rubble, you know, and maybe sooner rather than later. But, you know, it just, earth holds no treasures but perish with using. I mean, you do the very best you can. You remodel it the best you can and whatever. You take care of yourself the best you can, and everything here comes to an end. But there is a treasure that no one can take away because it's laid up for us there. Any others? Frank. Yes. Yeah, when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. What an incredible affirmation to hear from Jesus. And that God cares for us so much, providing for our cleansing and our redemption, that we have eternal life. There's a lengthy passage starting at the end of chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, running through the 5th chapter, verse 10, where Paul talks about the whole process of dying and being separated from our body in that interim period and longing for that day of resurrection and that eternal life in the presence of God. Because we know when the tent of this body is torn down, Paul says, we have a house made by God in the heavens. You know, God is providing for eternal dwelling, not just a place, but also a body. That passage from 1 Corinthians 15 that speaks to that same end about the transformation of the bodies that are raised, or those that are changed, those who are still living. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 talks about how we, let me just read it. That's a short one. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. This is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. It's amazing how often these passages that deal with eternal life or with heaven, with our eternal destiny, have some admonition or exhortation to faithfulness. You see it here. In John chapter 14, when Jesus is talking to his apostles, that section ends with Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The passage in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the resurrected body, what does Paul say at the very end of that? Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going somewhere. This thing is coming to a conclusion. God's going to bring his will to completion. We are going to live forever in the presence of God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Revelation 21 and 22 are coming at the end of an incredible conflict that's described in that great book. A conflict. Will the church be faithful is the question. Will the church be faithful in their testimony, in their life? And the answer for all those who are faithful is to dwell in the presence of the Lord. This hope that we all have, and it's a result of our faithfulness. So many other passages, but I want to close with one before our invitation song tonight. And it too ends with that same kind of thought. That because of all this, we live a certain way. This isn't just about having a certain idea or understanding about a place that's going to be down the road. This has everything to do with how you live tomorrow, with how you deal with people at work, with the call to be a holy and a set apart people. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Tonight, as we think of heaven, as we sing our favorite songs, as we turn to our favorite passages, as we even remember some of the questions that we have, we want to leave with this thought from the Apostle Peter in mind. Because we are looking forward to this, let us make every effort in our life tomorrow, this week, to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Because this is real. This is what's going to happen. This is what God will bring about. The perfect dwelling, the perfect environment, the perfect fellowship of all who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God bless us with a spirit of perseverance and faithfulness until that day. May we take the admonitions of Scripture to heart and be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in his works. Your labor in the kingdom of God is not in vain because of the promises of God. And if there are any here tonight who need to respond to him, to come into the family through your repentance and baptism into Christ, or if you're here today and just struggling with having that hope and having it real in your life in some way, know that we are together as a church family to be a blessing to one another. And if anyone needs to come to the Lord, please do while we stand and while we sing.